expressed on the following program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of the staff or management of KLAV.
This is Gambling with an Edge with Bob Dancer and Frank Nealon. Frank is the author of The Secret World of Video Poker Progressives, available at his website, ProgressiveVP.com, and is a former manager of the largest Las Vegas progressive slot team and has over 20 years of gambling experience. Bob Dancer is the best-known video poker player and writer in the country today, with more books than we can mention. Bob's won more than $1 million during a six-month period and has taught video poker at several casinos. To check out Bob's products, visit BobDancer.com. So if you're a Vegas local or are planning a trip here, this is one show you don't want to miss, because we'll be teaching you how to gamble with an edge. Now, here's Bob and Frank.
Hi, and welcome to tonight's episode, which is entitled The Deconstruction of Falling Stars.
Frank, why are you using that for our show title? That has nothing to do with our topic.
The show title has to do something with our show?
Yeah, that's kind of one of the rules.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. Sorry. That's why you're here, Bob. You're on a first-name basis with Lucidity. I have to call him Mr. Lucidity. Mm. Did you at least remember what day it is?
Yes, this is the day we have Mark Liparelli. He's the chairman of the Gaming Control Board. I'm excited about that.
No. I mean, it's our one-month anniversary. Did you get me anything?
We have a lot to cover tonight, Frank. Can we move on?
Well, sure. It's our anniversary. We can do what it'll ever make you happy, Bob.
Good. Before we have Mr. Liparelli, we have one of the Palms headliners on a G-rated interview with a non-G-rated guy.
Yeah, he's actually getting ready for the show right now, so we had to tape this earlier. He called me on Bluetooth while he was driving into town. So let's just get right on with that so we can make lots of time for the commissioner. Roll tape.
Well, we have a very, very special guest with us tonight, Andrew Dice Clay, the Dice Man. Welcome to the show.
Frank, it's good to be on.
Or should I have given you the more colloquial introduction? Yo, so what's up?
I'm just a little discombobulated, you know, because I had a problem with my eye a few days ago, so that's why we didn't get the tour.
Oh, no worries. And I had kind of a hectic day that day, too. I had to take my brand new kitten that I rescued from my shed into the vet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm a major cat lover. Do you have any pets?
Just my wife. No, I mean that.
I'm sure you do. So, hey,
no,
listen.
She don't even sleep on the bed. I got one of them things from the pet store, but it's kind of like a haunt, I'm goofing around. I'm kidding.
So, plug your show tonight. You're at my favorite casino, the Palms, right?
The Palms Casino in Las Vegas. I'm on the way right now. We're driving from L.A., and very excited about it. I always wanted to play the Palms. I've played a lot of the casinos in Vegas, but I think the Palms is, like, a very hip, cool place. It's one of the, it's one of those places that has become, like, its own thing.
Yeah, it's an amazing spot, and I've been I've never been one for going to all the like casino parties, but this last year I went to a bunch of room parties at the Palms, and had just a blast. They had a couple Playboy bunnies frolicking one of the jacuzzis at one of them, and I walked up and said, "So, are you girls customers? Or are you working?" You know, and they said, "Oh, we're working," and then she said, "Hey, did you work at the Rio 5 years ago?" And I said, "Yes," and she said, "Is your name Frank?" I said, "Yes," and she said, "You fired me." So that didn't work out too well. But other than that, I've had a really great time at all their parties.
Well, they're known. You know, the Palms is known for the kind of box that runs around there. You know what I mean? You ever walk around the pool area?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I'm still suffering temporary blindness from it, I think.
Yeah, just make sure you're wearing, the baggy bathing suit instead of the Speedos.
Well, you got that one, right?
You know what I mean?
But that's
to me what Vegas is all about.
We met years ago. I, of course, remember you, but you may not remember me. Do you remember appearing at the old Stardust?
Yes, I do.
After the show, you wanted some pictures, backstage pictures, so I stayed late and took them with my boss, Leslie Lupson, a very tall Cockney gentleman. Does that ring a bell?
You want to know something? I do, because there were two guys backstage. They were both really great guys every night, and it was funny when I went into the Stardust, I knew that it might be the only chance to go into the Stardust. And I really like those old school rooms with the, you know, that real Vegas feel, you know, because at the same time, I think it was, I already did, there was another hotel trying, I think it was Paris at the time. And I took the deal at the Stardust because it had that feel that I wanted.
Well, I remember you very well, and you were so nice. You may be interested to know that of all these celebrities that I've ever done backstage photos for, you were the only one ever to tip me.
To tip you?
That's correct.
Well, then you owe me some pictures.
Hopefully I gave them then. Now, I don't want the listeners thinking this was too great. You only tipped me a buck, but no, that's not true.
No, but I'd love to see the pictures from back then.
Oh, my. I bet I could get a hold of Leslie. He probably still has the negatives.
Yeah, but I really am excited. I haven't been in Vegas in a few months, and I understand they're in need of the greatest comic in the world, so that's why I'm coming to do these few shows.
Wow. Well, that you might just be right there.
I start shooting Entourage in a few weeks, you know, which is going to be very entertaining to my fans.
You had the funniest, I got to give you chops on this one, you had, without a doubt, the funniest and most memorable opener of any concert I have ever seen of a comedian. It was at the MGM Grand. I went to see you there. And you came out on stage, and you just were smoking your cigarette for about 30 seconds. You said nothing. And
it
of
was
course,
actually Bally's. I never
Bally's. Do you remember your opener for that show?
Yeah, but what happened? You know, I did a million shows.
So there you were standing there, and the audience gets real quiet, you know, and is he going to say something? And, of course, I got to clean it up for radio, but your very first line was, "Slug up my thong up this chick's butt." I never stopped laughing for the whole show. Wow.
It's amazing how we got to clean it up for radio, and in the meantime, every network is saying and doing the worst things. You know what I mean? Isn't it amazing what you see on TV today?
Well, it is, and perhaps they're just taking a page out of our politician's notebook, huh?
It's just amazing. It's everything from chicks beating the crap, fist fighting, spitting at each other, having the kind of sex that you actually could see what they're doing, cursing, smoking pot on friggin' CBS. I got to get back on network.
How did you get your start in comedy?
You know what? I'm not even interested in talking about that today.
All righty.
Because I have a book that's being written and coming out, and it's going to tell my whole story.
Well, I'll be lining up to buy that one. I'm going to have
It's called The Filthy Truth.
I like the title. I also have a book, and I'm going to bring you a signed copy at the show tonight, which I'm coming to with my best friend's wife as a date.
Oh, that's nice.
I called him. And said, "Hey, you want to go to an Andrew Dice Clay concert?" And the response I got was, after about 30 seconds, I cut her off and said, "So was that a yes?" I think she likes you.
But how does your best friend feel about you bringing his wife to my show?
Well, I didn't ask him, but I could.
But why isn't he coming? That's what I want to know.
He has things that he has to do at home.
Yeah. Well. That's why I say whatever goes on between you and her is okay. If he's that stupid to let his chick out on the town to see the most vile animal to ever walk on a comedy stage, he gets what he deserves.
Well, what he's probably thinking is that her going out with me is a pretty safe bet because I'm very dull.
Yeah, you know what, Frank? I love your rap.
Listen, I know you got to drive, and we don't want happening to you what happened to Sam Kinison.
I love how this is Bluetooth days, and I'm not drug and alcohol induced.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, no, but what I'm saying, it was funny after they said that, you were like, "Well, I know you got to go. You know, I'm only goofing on you."
Well, I look forward to seeing you tonight. You might remember me once you see me. I was the little guy of the two people you met backstage there at the Dust. I sure do miss that casino.
Yeah, so number one, you know, all the casinos were really good looking. You know what I mean? They were really like pretty looking places.
Yeah, the Stardust was just beautiful. I used to take my customers outside and photograph them with a sign, and you just don't have those kind of vistas anymore.
I know it's crazy, but you know what? I still love Vegas. You know, it's changed. It's got a little bit of the old Vegas, but yet it's got a new twist on it. So. There's no place like it, and I'm really looking forward I'll be at the Palms tonight. What time's the show? 9:30?
The show is at 9:30, yes.
All right. Well, so, I'm going to see you there then.
I'll see you there with bells on.
Okay.
All right. I got a signed copy of my book for you. We'll see you there tonight. Drive safely.
Got it. Take care.
All right. Cheers. And we're back.
Wow, it's hard to follow Andrew Dice Clay. He is a legend. But we're going to follow him with commercials. We're getting commercials out of the way early this time so we can leave more room for the commissioner, or actually the chairman of the commission. South Point. South Point has more than 10,000 machines returning in excess of 99%. And that's before they include the slot club and the mailers and the other goodies. In addition to the regular mailers, recently, they've been sending out extra money. Last month, if you were giving them their email, your email address, you got an extra $50 in free play. This month, if you played in the past three or so months, you get an extra $120. I'm not exactly sure of the parameters, whether it's 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, or whatever, but they did send it out to more than 30,000 people. It's likely this pattern will continue, so if you're not currently on their mailing list, it makes sense to join and give them some play. And if you do play and do the free play, it's smart not to collect just the minimum. Many casinos in this town frown on people who come in, collect the minimum, and then leave. This month, Double Points Day is St. Patrick's Day, which is March 17th. My game of choice that day will be Quick Quads. We know you're going to get your play done early that day, so you can rush home and hear our show later that evening. That's more important than
I'm learning Quick Quads for the first time next week in your class.
Uh-huh. As it happens, 9 days before the Double Point Days, next week's free video poker class is Quick Quads, 1 p.m. Tuesday afternoon in the showroom at the South Point. In my opinion, Quick Quads is the most fun version of video poker out there today. And for reasons I'll explain in class, it's the best game to play on the South Point's Double Point Days, including one reason that I promise at least 98% of you have never thought of. There's one additional reason to come to the class this Tuesday, and that's my co-host, Frank Nealon, will be there as a student in the class, likely not a quiet student. Other than knowing he's a quirky guy on the radio, a lot of you don't know anything about him. Trust me, he's one of a kind, and this is your chance. And his book, The Secret World of Video Poker Progressives, will be available for purchase, and he'll be happy to autograph it three or four times for you.
You just want to give me writer's cramp so I can't play video poker fast anymore.
All right, two or three times. That's better.
All right.
Let's talk about Silverton. Silverton, this month's promotion is called Pots of Gold, which is an Irish theme drawings that are every Saturday night. And they also have a final drawing on Thursday, March 31st. 10 winners each of those 5 days. Top prize of $12.50 and free slot plays guaranteed, and the winner has a shot at $25,000. Get triple entries on Mondays and Wednesdays. Slot players receive 2x points every day, and everybody gets 3x points on Thursdays this month. Every Tuesday through Monday week, as that is the 1st to the 7th, 8th through the 14th, etc., earning 500 points, you earn a different cooking pot. These strike me as nicer than typical casino gifts. Their calendar to this month promises a new slot club soon. This is good news. Currently, the Silverton is one of the very few Vegas casinos that don't have cash back or free play for the points. So this will likely change in the new club. I currently play at the casino, so this is no cash back slot club isn't a showstopper for me, but it is for some people. Figuring out how to do well in that kind of environment requires different skills than in the more traditional model. Most players, I'm sure, will be happy that the casino goes to cashback. You can be sure when the new system comes about, we'll talk about it here.
You said it was Irish-themed. They're not giving you any whiskey?
I don't know. It's called Pots of Gold, and it's green, and there's no leprechauns on the calendar. I don't know. It's hard to understand.
I'm actually Irish, you know, partly anyway. Irish and French.
Oh, yeah? Which part is that?
You can't see.
All right, good. One of our next week, we have invited someone to speak on gambling, taxes versus gambling. And that person has not had time to confirm or deny yet. We suspect the answer is going to be yes.
Well, you know, if we don't have a guest, we have been putting off so many things to talk to our clients about. Matter of fact, I heard you have a new book out, right? Which we haven't really talked about. I'm joking. We have to talk about it. But it's a great book. I'd like to ask you some more questions about it.
Good. We can do that. And also in 2 weeks, we're going to have Bill McCown. Who's he?
Oh, my goodness. Bill McCown is one of the top researchers in the field of gambling, pathological gambling. And he has put out a book called Best Possible Odds, which I read. This is a $60 book normally that only doctors buy. And I got through about chapter one of it and thought to myself, wow, this book wasn't worth enough. It is absolutely a superlative work. Obviously, and he says this right in the book, only about 2% of the people that gamble have an issue with it. So it doesn't affect a large percentage of the population. But the percentage it does affect, it's crippling. So,
and if it's 1 in 50, all of us probably know some people who it does affect.
Right, and that knowledge is just so good. I mean, when I ran the team, obviously, you know me well enough to know I have probably the opposite of an addictive personality. But I needed to study up on these issues because I had players that had these problems. And being able to identify it and help them, and there's nothing more frustrating in life to see somebody that you care about with a problem and not be able to have an impact, you know, not do anything for them. It makes you feel helpless. Anyway, we'll be talking with him, and he's also a very good speaker. And very funny. He does lots of radio shows. And he even gambles himself, so he's not against it.
Good.
He's just against having a problem with it.
All right, so that's in 2 weeks.
Yep.
So now we have Greg Brown. Greg Brown is from videopoker.com. Good evening, Greg.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Frank.
Yes, my nominee for sainthood. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
All right, St. Greg. I'll have to ask you about that later. What's happening at videopoker.com?
Well, right now we're running a contest. And I know you just spoke to Quick Quads, and the game we're featuring this week is Wheel Poker with Quick Quads, so people could go right now and enter the contest and try their luck at Quick Quads, or at least a version of Quick Quads.
And this and wheel poker is like when you get some kind of four of a kind, either natural or quick quads, it spins a wheel, and then you get some amount, some random amount between, I don't know, 10 and 1,000. I don't have the wheel in front of me, but it's some number as a bonus.
Yep, and with quick quads, you get that extra opportunity for a quad, so you get more spins typically in a session. So it's a fun game and pretty volatile and nice to play for free.
It's free to play on, so you don't have to be a member or pay anything to join this contest.
No, you will have to join the site if you're not a member, but it's free to join as a basic member.
And if you win by getting a Delt Royal, and how do you win this contest?
Yeah, typically Delt Royals do well. We have about, you know, 10 to 12 to 15,000 people playing, so and because they're not playing for money, they're playing a lot, and so the number of Delt Royals or Royal Flushes are a lot higher than you would normally expect, but doesn't mean you shouldn't try.
And what do you win if you win?
$500 gift card, and we have runners-up for the top five, and then also we have what we call a bonus round, where the people with the most spins or wheel spins will be entered in kind of a bonus round, so that you don't have to get that Royal to win something, and that's another... we give away 3-month gold memberships for those top five winners.
So there is actually prize money. Wow.
Yeah.
Is there anything on videopoker.com that will help you become a more intelligent player, knowledge-wise? Correct.
Yeah, for sure. We have the training mode. We call it training mode, where we have our stoplight feature.
How does that work?
Well, when you deal your hand and you make your holds, you can turn on the stoplight feature, and depending on if you made the right hold or not, it'll give you a red light if it's the incorrect hold, green light if it was correct, and a yellow light if it's kind of on the margin where expected value is pretty close. You know those hands where you go one way or the other. Then you have the ability to, you know, deal if you want. Even if you get a red light, it'll then tell you what you should have held. So it's a really quick and easy way, and it plays as you play, so you can get an immediate feedback on whether you're playing right. So, you know, you can learn pretty quickly doing that.
Well, good. So it doesn't tell you how much. It doesn't like And so what games is this on? Is this on all the games on your site?
Well, right now there's it's on about 8 games, kind of the most popular games. But next week when we roll out our new website, we're going to add another 12 or so games. So there'll be about 20 games that have the stoplight enabled.
And it's not like actual traffic lights where red is stop, green is go, and yellow is go
kind
very
of is,
fast.
Kind of is. Yeah.
Yellow is go very fast. Good.
Yeah.
And you have... Is this? Do you have to be a gold member to do this, or is this for everybody?
You do have to be a gold member, but you can be a gold member on a seven day free trial with no payment. So give it a try and see if you like the benefits, including training mode. And then if you don't, you just cancel out and you won't be charged.
Very good.
Yeah.
And the way we get a hold of videopoker.com is to put videopoker.com on the. On our browser, hit the button.
Yeah, type it in. You can't miss it.
Let's hope we don't have to tell our listeners how to do that.
Well, we've had some people, we get all kinds, trust me.
I do like these folks. They are the ones who is sponsoring the Video Poker for Winter software. Mm-hmm. And they put my picture on there with next to two cocktail waitresses where Shirley was in the audience when that was shot.
Oh, so. My.
I had a martini glass when they shot it, and I don't drink, but that's on the cover of it. But anyway, love all that. Greg, good having you on. We'll talk to you again.
Okay.
And thank you very much for being here.
Great. And if you guys want to give away some gold memberships, just go ahead and do that. 3-month gold memberships. If you want to give away a few, just get people's email and send them to me, and I'll be happy to give them a 3-month free trial.
All right, perfect. We will award that to people who send in the best questions on the to our various gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. If those questions end up on the air, we're likely to get a gold membership at videopoker.com. Thank you very much, Greg.
You bet.
Talk to you in a month.
Okay. Have
All right.
a good night.
Take it easy. And did you have some more commercials there before we get on, Mark?
No, we don't have any more commercials. So right now we're waiting for Mark to call in.
Wow, we're just waiting.
We're waiting.
I'm dangerous when I'm bored,
Oh dear.
I could explode at any moment.
All right, then.
Why don't I tell him about this segment that I want to start running? I know you're kind of on the fence about it.
Yeah, on the negative side of the fence, but we'll try it.
Well,
hopefully he calls in soon.
I think it's very applicable because, off the top of your head, let me just phrase this as a question.
All right.
Can you think of any job or business where misconceptions and cognitive biases are more prevalent than gambling? And can you think of any profession or industry where it hurts you more to not really think with a clear mind?
I would think marriage.
I was not expecting that.
And anything for my personal life, marriage and dating would fit into there really well.
Am I going to have to be the one to ask you to be serious?
Uh-huh. Good. So there are a lot of misconceptions in gambling.
Tons.
I always liked the guy at third base on playing blackjack. Controls the fate of the table, and if he, whatever he does, affects everybody else, and which people discover after it's over. By the way, that was always a good one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was watching. I was watching a show, actually, just a wonderful show. If you get a chance to see it, called Adventures in English, and they were talking about John Locke, who actually he was founded the Royal Academy, and. He thought that better use of language could put an end to disputes, factionalism. He thought that if the definition of words could be agreed and misunderstanding avoided, peace would naturally follow. That quote really works good as long as you don't finish it, because he went on to state that he would use only pure and simple English to avoid what he called the vicious abundance of phrase and volubility of tongue.
Uh-huh. Well, he was a great influence on Thomas Jefferson, and so apparently there's been a few months since he wrote that.
But he did see misunderstanding basically as the root of all evil. He literally thought it would end war. Now, of course, this was in a time when most wars were between countries where they spoke different languages.
And so he could
avoid war with France by speaking in clear English.
Yes, and of course they had to speak English. You know, they weren't going to learn French, right?
Works well.
Now, where this is really applicable to our industry, and disagree, I have to tell you, you're welcome to disagree with me. you're sitting there poised, ready to disagree at any moment. Last week we had that listener question, which talked about randomness, where he had presented multiple people had given me textbook examples of randomness to dispute it. And I realized that the problem here was not that, you know, things weren't random or were random. Their definition of it was actually different than mine. We were in agreement, but we didn't know it. I think he's calling in, is he? So, anyway, is that our guest? Outstanding. So I'll just wrap this up real quick.
Good.
In honor of George Bernard Shaw's quote, better keep yourself clean and bright. You are the window through which you must see the world.
Uh-huh.
I would like to start a regular segment called Window Cleaning, where we will discuss word definitions that are used in gambling and also cognitive biases and popular casino misconception. I think that's pretty on topic.
All right. We can do that starting next week.
All right. Now, we got on our biggest guest ever here. So,
Mark Liparelli was appointed chairman of the Gaming Control Board a few months ago. Prior to that, he'd served on the Gaming Control Board for approximately 2 years, following a career where he worked in management positions for Bally Technology, ShuffleMaster, Casino Data Systems. For 4 years, he's worked with the Gaming Standards Association, which is an international trade group for gaming manufacturers, suppliers, operators, and regulators. Chairman Liparelli, welcome to Gambling with an Edge with Bob Dancer and Frank Nealon.
Well, thanks. Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, thank you. We were blown away when we found out you were... I mean, I was expecting to get somebody way down the chain of command, like a PR guy. When they said the chairman was willing to appear, I just had to, like, step away from the phone and sit down for a few minutes.
Before we start, let me say that since we announced your appearance, we've received several dozen additional suggestions for questions to ask you. We're going to get to several, but we don't have near enough time to get them all in. Players being able to hear directly from you is an opportunity that is rare and very much appreciated. Hopefully, you'll decide at the end of this that this wasn't so bad. Let's do it again soon. So, let's get...
Sure.
Oh, good. I'll take that as a yes. What is the purpose of the Gaming Control Board, and how does the Nevada organization differ from similar organizations elsewhere?
Well, the board has a wide range of responsibilities. We're a regulatory agency, but more than that, we serve in a lot of capacities. In a sense, we're a consultant to industry and a consultant to applicants and a responder to customer inquiries, and we serve more than just a regulatory role. We're actually a taxing authority as well, so we serve as a tax collector for the state, and as you probably know, gaming produces a significant amount of the state's tax revenue, so we're auditors in that sense and making sure that we're protecting the collection of taxes in the state. So there's quite a wide range of responsibilities that we have.
I had no idea it was that broad.
How do players know that slot machines and video poker machines in Nevada are fair?
Well, one of the hallmarks of our regulatory structure is clearly protection of the patron, to ensure that as patrons come and visit our state, that they get a fair shake. And we participate in committees and in trade associations beyond the state of Nevada to try as best we can to formulate policy and pass regulations that are adopted not only in Nevada but increasingly around the world. A lot of people look to Nevada for consulting services on the right way to structure regulations so that when people come and gamble in our state and in other states that they're given a fair shake. It's clearly you know, a casino business is clearly one where the house has the advantage in the end, and I think most people realize that if they're you know, paying attention. But you know, we want to make sure that as products are submitted to us, that we test those products to pretty exacting standards. And they spend quite a bit of time in our lab. Sometimes you talk to people in the industry, they spend too much time in our lab, but part of that tension is to make sure that what the manufacturers have told us that they're developing is actually what's been developed. And so there's a pretty extensive lab testing process that has to be followed before a game can be placed on a casino floor.
We're fighting over each other to ask the follow-up of this.
Me.
You second. Very good.
All right.
But you're checking as the games are designed. It doesn't sound like you're checking them on the casino floor. So once the game gets on the casino...
That's actually done as well. We have a dedicated staff that continually is in process checking games to make sure that... that the source code with any game is actually the one that was approved by the board, and those people are out in the marketplace on a continuous basis.
I've actually bumped into a couple of those guys.
Yeah, not surprising.
They seemed very nice, but very busy.
Yeah, that's very true.
Do you still use the chi-squared test?
There's a whole series of tests. We do use the chi-squared test, and in addition to that, we have worked with industry, and I think they've done a commendable job as well at enhancing their own quality control checks before products even submitted to us. We have about, I think, a better than 92% success rate on products that are submitted to us, which is increasingly a better success rate than what had been done before. And largely that's partly a function of the disappearance of coin in slot machines. Engineering of slot machines when they were traveling coin through a box was quite a bit more complex than the PC technology that's used today.
And more vulnerable to wear and tear and breakage.
Certainly. So as coin left the slot machine, it allowed a lot of developers to spend their time perfecting code in other areas and not having to deal with the vagaries of moving a mechanical switch around. So that's helped a lot in the industry.
I think the fairness of machines has got to be just so important, in people's minds. I mean, who would play a game of craps if they knew the dice were loaded? I mean...
Well, you can't win if you don't play.
Now, it is like this in Nevada, but it isn't like that everywhere. Do you know of areas where the machines are not regulated?
There are other locations that do far less testing in the world. Nevada sets a pretty high bar. I would think most people would tell you it's the highest bar. And again, there's a tension there. Naturally, innovators want to get their product to market as fast as they can. That's the way they improve their operations and improve their bottom lines. And generally speaking, I think Nevada does a very good job at keeping pace with technology. But in cases where, the patron, we have to view the products through the patron's eyes, not necessarily the innovator's eyes. And so innovators can always move quite fast, and they all want to be creative. And our job is to make sure that, what does it look like from the patron's perspective? And is the creative idea or the creative game element something that, in the end, won't lead to an extraordinary number of patron disputes or patron confusion?
That was actually what my next question was going to be for you. This is going to be a great opportunity for you to reduce the workload of your employees. Now, I know it's the job of the CGCs to enforce rules of the game. And this, for me, is like if a person agrees to play soccer, they shouldn't complain that they can't use their hands, right? Now, one example of a rule of the game is malfunction voids all pays and plays. What are the most common types of complaints that you get where casinos have acted completely within the rules of the game, but people log complaints anyway?
On a slot device, it can be any number of things. And again, you have to think about the perspective of the patron versus someone who works with the technology day in, day out, and probably knows every intricacy of a device versus a patron that might be visiting on a weekend that doesn't have that same kind of aptitude about what, makes a game function. And oftentimes it can be anything. It can be a flicker. It can be a flash of light. It can be a game reset. There can be a whole host of things that can cause someone to want to think that they were, one step away from winning a prize. that they believe they have a rightful claim to. And there's a very tried and true process in place in Nevada where a patron, if in any dispute of over $500, the location is obligated to call us and have our enforcement agents come out and make a determination of whether there's a viable claim. And so I think patrons are protected by regulation in that sense. But a patron can make a claim for any amount of money if they feel like they've got a rightful claim to an award, and they have an appeal process as well. So you can get good judicial process in Nevada if you feel like a game should have paid you and the house refuses to pay. But generally speaking, you know, the casinos do a good job of taking care of customers, and you know, in the large majority of cases, you know, righteous wins are paid by the house.
I did have a friend that had a really interesting situation where it turned out that the machine hadn't malfunctioned. It was human error. Someone had reset it manually, you know, pushed the wrong button, mm-hmm. and he called gaming, and they came right in, and they sided with him, and he got complete satisfaction. Really, really great.
It's pretty rarely the case that I think a patron feels like they haven't had their fair day in court, and you know, there's only probably 2 to 3 player disputes a month that make their way all the way to the Gaming Control Board for hearing. Most of them are either resolved by the property or resolved once the enforcement agent has come out and made a determination. And you know, some people are unsatisfied, and that's what the process is there to do, is to create an unbiased opportunity for someone to make their arguments.
Enforcement agent sounds so ominous, though. They should be happiness bringers or something. But anyway, over to you, Bob.
When there is a dispute and it goes up to the Gaming Control Board, and if it goes against the player, is he still allowed to go to the courts to resolve it, or does he give up that right by going to the Gaming Control Board?
No, it's a multi-tiered process. Obviously, the steps are that they would first make a claim with the property itself. If the property itself either wants to take care of the customer or believes that it's a righteous claim for payment, they can make the payment there. If it runs to a claim for assistance, the Gaming Control Board enforcement agent will visit the property and make a determination, if it's able to, right on the spot. If it involves some kind of technical analysis, one of our lab technicians might have to come out and do some analysis, and we will, you know, mail the decision to the patron, you know, wherever they reside. If they don't like the finding, if they disagree with the finding, their first step is before a hearings officer who mm-hmm. is assigned to the Gaming Control Board to hear these cases. So the hearings officer will hear from the property and hear from the patron, and he will render a decision. That decision, if it gets to a hearings officer stage, is presented to the board, and the 3-member board that I participate in will either agree with that decision or overturn that decision. And at that stage, if the patron is unsatisfied, they can appeal that decision to our commission, which is a 5-member lay commission that meets monthly. If they don't like their outcome with the Gaming Commission, their last step is judicial relief, so they could go to the district court. And in that case, it would be the traditional rules associated with whether someone's due process rights have been violated or something like that. But you know, that's normally not the case.
I read casino promotion rules all the time, and they always say management reserves all rights. And you see that when you sign up for a slot club card. Now, obviously, they don't have a right to shoot you. So, but what exactly does management reserves all right goes for the casino? And what does, like, do they have to follow their own rules if they say management reserves all rights? Do they have the right to change their mind? What does that mean?
Well, generally speaking, you know, these rules, although you may think that it's any old marketing department, you know, designing a set of rules, a lot of the rules associated with promotions and slot clubs have been tested over the years. So I think, generally speaking, most of the casinos do a very good job of making sure they're given appropriate disclosure, you know, to the patron, that like any player loyalty or club loyalty or purchase loyalty card, whether it's in our industry or any other kind of retail industry, The owners of those casinos have the right to change those programs within reason. In our regulations, under Regulation 5, casinos are bound to, perform in a way that doesn't bring discredit upon the state. And so one of the enforcement mechanisms we have as a regulatory body is to make sure that if patrons are being treated unfair, there is an opportunity for redress if they were mistreating customers and not following their own set of rules.
And thank you. An interesting situation just happened yesterday. A casino was offering a big point multiplier day, and a lot of players came in to play, and they kicked out these players. And some of the players were wondering, can a casino kick out anybody for any reason? And if you have uncashed slot club points, does that belong to the casino or to the player? If you have unredeemed promotional comps dollars, does that belong to the player or to the casino?
Well, most of the point totals are governed by the rules themselves. So I'm not aware of any cases where there's been much doubt about whether a set of points can be in existence perpetually. I think most players' clubs will disclose in their set of rules of how long a point will stay in existence without there being any gaming activity or visit activity.
Well, we're not talking about not playing for 2 years. What we're talking about is I go into a – this didn't happen to me this time, but I go into a casino, they say, we don't want your business anymore. Go away. And whether they – however they do it, there's various ways they can say go away. But when they say go away, yesterday I had $800 in slot club points that I didn't redeem yet. Does a casino have a right to keep that, or is it mine still?
Well, your points under that hypothetical, your points would be available to you as long as you've met the conditions of the program itself. So if you have not expired your points, then you would have an ability to make a rightful claim to whatever the value that the casino has for you related to those points.
Naturally, of course, it'd be difficult to pick them up if you can't go there.
but
someone wanted to know if you die, if your estate can collect your points.
Boy, I'm not an estate attorney.
We don't require that you know everything.
Yeah, I probably don't know the answer to that one. I don't know if I've been presented with that one.
Good. I would rather you say that than make up something which isn't right. If we can
been around long enough to say when I don't know something, I'll just tell you I don't.
Perfect.
Know.
Thank you.
We like you.
On internet gaming is sort of illegal and sort of not illegal, but on a national level, does the Nevada Gaming Control Board? Are you involved at all with the rules in internet gaming?
Well, our state doesn't have internet gaming, and we did pass a law, I think in the 2002 timeframe, that would allow someone to come into the state with a program that would allow internet gaming to take place within the borders of the state of Nevada, but no one's come forward with a business plan or a request for us to adopt the regulations that would allow that. I think there's a much greater sense of energy behind internet gaming today, and it falls in a number of buckets. First is probably and most popular is internet poker, as one form of internet gaming. Another form of internet gaming would be casino-styled games on the internet, and the third kind of bucket would probably be internet sports wagering. Nevada is unique in that sense because we're the only state that allows true sports wagering.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of energy, I think, in a lot of people's minds who look at Nevada and opportunistically and say that, internet sports wagering could be something that would be unique to Nevada and be an opportunity. I think there's probably a greater appetite generally politically for internet poker. And then I think once you start moving into internet casino style games, there's, a whole cross current of interested parties that would have.
But these are not controlled by your commission, and they're not guaranteed random and fair, or are they?
Well, our enforcement and jurisdiction runs to the state border, and that's it. So
we
have been participating with a number of groups internationally, and we do have applicants in the system who have been in that business for a long, long time, and so we're getting up the.
If,
the education ramp pretty fast on the different kinds of...
If you could offer internet gambling guaranteed with the Nevada Gaming Commission randomness and fair rules, that would be, I think, a huge incentive for people to play. I just wanted
huge
to...
Huge incentive for players not to go into the casinos.
Unfortunately, yes, that's also true. I had something to actually let you know. I don't know if you know my background, but back in the 90s, I ran a very large progressive team. And all we did was to go in and to casinos and play when the progressive was high. But obviously with like 50 or 60 people playing 10 machines around the clock for, you know, well, I have years of records. We were shocked at how flawlessly random, I mean, the machines basically gave us exactly over the long course of time what they were supposed to. So I probably am in a better position to tell you that, that your gaming commission is doing an excellent job in Nevada than in anyone you're likely to talk to.
Well, there's a, you know, there's a pretty great incentive, you know, for all the people in the process to make sure that what they represent in the source code is actually what occurs on the game. And again, at the heart of our industry is the belief that patrons are getting a fair shake. And if we ever lose sight of that, then, you know, we've lost a major piece of how the entertainment part of gaming...
From my POV, you certainly are doing a great job. And I did play once at an Indian casino outside of the state, only once. And basically, I left there screaming. You know, I left one of those little cartoon cutouts in the wall, you know, and a poof, you know, sound effect behind me. Because, I mean, these machines were clearly not random. Anyway, Bob, over here.
Yeah, I'm wondering, one of our members wanted to know, are you and the other gaming control members allowed to gamble in Nevada casinos? And are you allowed to accept complimentary rooms, meals, shows? Come here, Commissioner, we have a new gourmet room that we'd love you and your wife to try. And by the way, there's a hearing next month concerning us. Now, I'm sure
those days are long gone. That doesn't occur. We are prohibited by our own policies from, and our employees are, from accepting any form of complimentary. And there's very tight ethics rules that govern our employees. And I can happily say that, you know, our employees are really good about observing all those things, and we maintain complete independence. So, you know, we're not even allowed to stay in hotel casinos when our people travel, despite the fact they would probably save the state some money from time to time, because some of those rooms can be cheaper than what we pay for the hotels and motels that we do stay in. But
so for yeah, you those, for yeah, you so living you for you living in Las Vegas is basically like being in Utah.
So you don't get any rooms with mirrors on the ceilings.
We can certainly visit casinos, but, you know, we can take in the great food and the great shows, and but, you know, we have to pay for it. We're treated just like every other person out there. That, you know, if it's available to the public, our employees can take advantage of it, but it comes out of their own pocket.
Good. On virtual electronic drawings, where, say, players earn one entry for every 100 slot club points, and then the casino picks winners and give away cars, cash, whatever. Are these virtual drawings regulated at all by the Gaming Control Board, and how can players know that they're fair?
Those programs are subject to the regulation of the board. Promotions were added, I believe, sometime in the last 10 years, promotions were added to our regulations. I probably couldn't tell you the exact date of when that categorization of products were offered. And generally speaking, that falls under an area called associated equipment for the board.
Mm-hmm.
And associated equipment also goes through scrutiny. I would tell you they don't go through as much detailed scrutiny as a slot device does, but they do go through scrutiny.
All right. Now, an off-the-wall question. I'd like to blame Frank for this one, but actually I thought of it. And we have a bet as to what your answer is going to be. The Gaming Control Board isn't particularly political, but you are appointed by the governor. And the current governor, Brian Sandoval, used to have your job. And our current U.S. Senator, Harry Reid, used to have your job. So would you like to take this opportunity to announce your future political plans?
I'll vote for you.
Just to be clear, because I don't want Chairman Bernhard to think that I've supplanted his seat. Chairman Pete Bernhard is the chair of the commission, and that was the seat that Brian Sandoval occupied,
oh,
the seat that Harry Reid occupied. I'm the chairman of the board, which is the 3-member board, and the gaming commission is the 5-member commission. So I want to make sure that they don't think I'm trying to supplant their positions and, and the seats that they occupy. But I don't have any political plans. Political plans are not in my future.
You're just going to go fishing after you're done with this job, right?
Oh, I'll do something for sure, but politics isn't one of them.
How many hours a week do you work? I'm just curious. I mean, this is a tough job you have, right?
Yeah, it's a full-time job, and it's more than full-time for the board members. We're in what I would call preparation mode for next week's meeting. So we're handed a series of reports, usually a week and a half to 2 weeks before that meeting, and we will spend significantly more hours than 40 hours a week preparing for that meeting that takes place on Wednesday and Thursday. And then during the weeks that we're not, quote-unquote, in session, we have very active calendars with respect to if it might be new applications or attorneys and advisors visiting us to advise us of things that their clients are up to. The Hard Rock case would be another example of how taxed we can be for time when there's either a deadline impending and we've got to try to process and be, again, like I said, we're not just a regulatory agency in the truest sense in a lot of ways. Our staff become experts at their trade, and you know they do a lot of the great work for the board, and they're also in that consultative role as well. So we're definitely a full-time organization.
When you're from the manufacturing sector, you were president of Shufflemaster, among other things. And there's some lawyers on your staff. There are people with law enforcement backgrounds. There's no players on your background. A lot of us would think on some of the player manufacturers' disputes that a fair hearing would be if some player advocate was on there. Now, I'm not fishing for a job, but I actually do know some well-respected players who might consider that if that opportunity ever opened up. Do you see that as a possibility at all?
I honestly never thought of that. Never thought of that concept. The process that's been in place has been a very successful one. I don't think, you know, I wouldn't freeform it with you on your radio show, but I wouldn't rule it out. I it seems like, you know, that's something that we do have expertise among our staff that comes.
We're at about the 1 minute warning, so I was just can't thank you so much for appearing. I just wanted to thank you so much, and I had just one thing I wanted to tell you. A lot of casinos do have it in their minds that people in the pro gambling community are, you know, have the criminal mentality and are just trying to get one over on them. And that is a very small percentage of our community. Most of the people that do what Bob and I do are game players. And we're the type of folk, if you tell us this is the rule, we stick to it because it's not fun to win if you have to cheat. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, we have a special place for cheaters.
Yeah, but you know, there's just no point in that. If you win cheating, it's not fair. And that, I think, is the more bulk of professional gamblers. We're going to have to anything you'd like to say to the audience quickly?
No, just happy to have the participation, and anytime you want to have a follow-up, just give me a call.
That'll be awesome.
Not before next week, for sure. No, we definitely will have you back on. Thank you very, very, very much.
Anything you need, you give us a buzz.
Have a great night.
You too.
Wow. That was our most impressive guest so far.
He's awesome.
I want to have him back again. And those of you who have additional questions that we didn't get to, send them in an email, gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com, and we'll ask him next time around. And if your question gets on the air, we'll probably give you a 3-month gold membership to videopoker.com.
That gentleman, the friend that I mentioned that put in a report, he actually ended up getting $90,000 for a quarter four of a kind.
Very good.
I'll tell the story later.
All right, next week. Thank you.
If we wish to commit a post hoc ergo propter hoc, we'd say that people who listen to Gambling with an Edge are smarter and more knowledgeable than average gamblers. Therefore, listening to our show clearly increases your intelligence. If someone asked why Bob and Frank are such good hosts and we wish to beg the question, we would answer, because we are such great hosts. If we told you that because the sky is purple and fish grow on trees, you can listen to our show live on KLAV at 7 p.m. Thursdays. Because of argumentum ad logicum, you could not logically infer that we were wrong. And in closing, if we stated that because Bob and Frank are successful gamblers, they've had exciting and torrid sex lives, it would be an example of a non sequitur. For an archived version of tonight's show, you can visit ProgressiveVP.com and BobDancer.com. The sponsors for the show are the South Point, the Palms, and Silverton Hotel and Casinos, as well as Dottie's and the website videopoker.com. Thanks for listening, and tune in next Thursday night at 7 for our next rigidly scheduled period of total spontaneity. Are you tired of dishonest air conditioning and heating companies? Sotelo Air prides itself on honesty and integrity. With over 40 years of experience in the Las Vegas Valley, we service all brands of equipment. Call Sotelo Air at 702-321-1073. We offer senior and military discounts on any repairs. Plus, it's time for that winter tune-up. For proper operation of your heating system, call Sotelo Air at 702-321-1073. We want you to be comfortable this winter. Sotelo Air Conditioning and Heating, 702-321-1073.
I'm Mark.
Listen up.
And I'm Jessica.
Word up.
And we're the Jerks.
Keep it real.
We've got the Jerk Show every Tuesday through Saturday right here on KLAV AM 1230.
Westside.
Listen every day and your life will be enriched.
With 10 gigawatts of radio waves that won't behave.
Or you'll go insane.
I'm not listening to you. You're crazy.
Yeah, that too. Midnight to 3 on the Talk of Las Vegas.
Howard Dean, that former Vermont governor here, there have been two commissions talking about debt and deficit reduction. Do you think the two parties will move close enough to make real progress on that?
I think we've got to get through this horrible partisan stuff first. Basically, this is one of those ones where, politically speaking, you got to hold hands and jump off the bridge together.
Hi, everyone. It's Ron Insana. Put your money down on the Insana Quotient every Monday through Friday morning, 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. on Las Vegas' number one talk station, KLAV, AM 1230.
Hi, I'm Duke Liberatore.
And I'm Dr. Jan McBaron.
We are a husband and wife team.
And together we host the number one health talk show in the nation,
Duke and the Doctor.
You can hear our show weekdays from 6 to 8 a.m. here on KLAV 1230 a.m.
We'll discuss up-to-date health news, give away gifts, share in a laugh or two, and answer health questions from our callers.
Don't miss Stay Healthy Las Vegas with Jeff Burke from 8 to 9 a.m. Feel happy, healthy, and terrific when you tune in to Duke and the Doctor.
Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 a.m. on KLAV.
This Saturday morning at 8, join us for the Sportsbook Show, hosted by Big Mo and Moneyline Mac. These guys are winners.
Hey, Jamie, JT, oh, it's about time to get back hot again, man. You know I'm fresh out that thing. Let go.
You know you're looking at a winner.
So up there and so out there. You so not here. Hey. You see
the Sportsbook Show, Saturday morning at 8.
Hello, I'm Meredith Berger, publisher of the Las Vegas Kids Directory. We are proud to be the longest-running family publication in Las Vegas. Each month, Las Vegas parents pick up a copy of our resource guide to help them locate a wide variety of products and services for their families. We distribute thousands of free copies of the directory all over Las Vegas each month. Each week, I will have on a different family-oriented business discussing important family-oriented topics. Join us for the Las Vegas Kids Directory radio show Monday mornings at 9.
This is Rodeo Randy, host of the Rodeo Randy Show. I'll keep you in the know with all the happenings in the exciting sport of rodeo locally and around the country, along with news about the Little Britches, high school, and college rodeos. The Rodeo Randy Show will air every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time here on KLAV Radio and is streamed live worldwide on KLAV1230AM.com. So for all the rodeo action, catch the Rodeo Randy Show, where cowboys go to listen.
This is David DeHaan. I invite you to join us the second Thursday of every month at 3 p.m. We're featuring our new show, Community Speaks. We'll be talking about the Henderson Chamber, notable guests from our community, taking calls, and other issues that concern all of you. Again, Community Speaks, second Thursday of every month at 3 p.m. This is David DeHaan. Join me right here on KLAV, the Talk of Las Vegas.
Hey folks, I wanted to take this opportunity to invite you to listen to our brand new show, Wealth by the Numbers, every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m., where myself, John Gafford, will be here with investment guru James Wolfe to talk about your financial future. We'll be discussing a lot of topics. James?
Smart investments, cash flow opportunities, and guess what? Debt solutions and home-based business opportunities.
Folks, this is the quintessential money show for Las Vegas. If you want to invest or make money or save money, you need to listen every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
I'm Leanne Rimes for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. To some, it's just not country music without hard drinking and fast driving. But real life's not a song. And in less time than it takes to play the latest country hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. That's why friends don't let friends drive.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
You're listening to KLAV Las Vegas.